The reading this morning is entitled, Peter Declares That Jesus is the Messiah. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was what revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you that you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, you will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Good morning. Am I on? Fantastic. Let's move that aside for a moment. Well, bless you. I'm substituting for Susan. I was supposed to be leading the worship today, but I thought it would be a cracking good idea if I let Susan lead the worship and I prepare the sermon. And that seemed great until I started finding the time to prepare the sermon. But it's great to be with you this morning and to be able to share something with you. Just to give you a little taste of what's to come, we'll be talking about my son's wedding. Can't resist talking about that. We'll be talking about Pokemon Go and something about my new job. So, and all of that, I hope we'll see some of it will relate to what I want to say about Jesus. Over the last few months, various of us have been preaching on various people in the Bible, various characters. I think I've got a list, but not on this piece of paper here. People have preached. Well, perhaps some of you can remember who people Paul. Preached about. Paul.
John.
John. Yeah, I preached
Jeremiah.
About John.
Jeremiah.
Abraham.
Joseph. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough, people. And we sought to find out a bit about how their lives have been transformed, so that they can show an example to us, a model to us of our memory verse for the year, which is
Do not be transformed
but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, I've got it written down here as well, but I thought I'd see how well you did, and that was fantastic. And I spoke about John, and I looked at some of his life, and we started off talking about Patmos, and how he saw Jesus as the Lion and the Lamb, the one who came as king to rule, but offered as himself as a living, as a sacrifice, as a lamb, a humble servant. We thought about his humanity as we came to Mother's Day, and thought about him at the cross, showing his familial love for his mother and his friend John to take care of each other, the humanity of that, prioritizing relationships, even in his moment of deepest crisis. And we looked at Herod's questions about who Jesus was and how some of it was shown in the Transfiguration, when we saw Jesus as one greater than Moses, one greater than the prophets. And then we remembered that for John, the important thing was through Jesus we're loved and we're set free. And then as I was thinking about what I would preach on today, I thought about this declaration that Peter makes, that Jesus is the Messiah. Before I get on to that, just to mention that in the last week, I had my first competency review in my new job. Fantastic, isn't it? So I had to write out a form to say how good I was at teamwork and knowing about the new system, and I had to score myself. And that was a wonderful experience because I scored myself two and three out of four. I totaled 9 out of 16, so only just over halfway up. And my boss said to me, "Well, I'm looking at your scores, Keith, and you're much better than that." I thought, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? But there was this framework of all these questions that I had to identify, things that I do well, and or that I'm doing, and am I doing them well enough? So that was exciting for me to have that experience. Busy as I was with a whole load of other things. Well, I might just come back to that in a little while. Being scored. So in the reading that Howard so kindly read for us this morning, lots of people are talking about Jesus. They're wondering who he is. They're wondering what he's like. My boss was wondering what I was like. And so he asked his disciples, "Well, what are people saying about me? Who do they say that I am?" And then came to this more pointed question. My question for you and for me today is from Jesus. Who do you say that I am? What about you, Jesus asked. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And I want to come back to the question in a moment, think about that a bit more deeply. But my first thought on this, as always, is, well, what does Messiah mean? So I've done some research, and you'll be pleased to know that I looked at the Old Testament thought about how it comes, well, from Jewish thought of a Messiah, the anointed one, the one who's going to bring salvation to Israel, the one who's going to bring righteousness, the one who Israel is to follow, to come into God's full blessing. And then in Jesus' time, that clearly was the background to the thought of the Jewish people, the Israelites at that time. But they were really concerned about the situation of being occupied by Rome. So there's a strong thread of what the Messiah we want had come to break the shackles of imperial government. But there are also the mystics out in the near the Dead Sea. You've heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls. The mystics who actually thought much more of Jesus as the Messiah as being someone who's going to bring a priestly anointing, one who's going to show the nation righteousness and bring them back into that proper life of living to please God. So all these thoughts are running around in people's heads. And later, of course, we see in the Gospel writers, they actually really grabbed hold of some of these ideas and moved them a bit further forward. And we're very familiar with that, the familiar idea that the Messiah is Jesus, not only a man sent by God, but a divine person who is God, who's come to transform the world, to bring something new. But that wasn't the point that they were at when Jesus asked them this question. Who do you say that I am? Now, I think they could have given a whole load of different answers. You're my friend, Jesus. I met you fishing. You're the bloke from down the road where I lived, who I now like and follow. And Jesus, but Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And I wanted to come back to that, because you are the Messiah. Jesus' question was about who do people say that I am, and who do you say that I am? And the answer he gets is, well, you are the Messiah. Well, that's a title, very good. It's a name we can, you know, Keith's the finance business partner. I mean, he's quite decent at doing his teamwork. You know, who is Jesus? Well, he's the Messiah. Well, he hadn't actually done any of the things that the Messiah was expected to do yet, had he? But for Peter and the others, there was a declaration that the Messiah was the one they wanted to follow. So the answer that Jesus has elicited from his disciples isn't one about the technicalities of the role that Jesus holds, or the theology that we like to work on, the Christology we like to meditate upon. The answer they give is, you're the one we're going to follow because you're the one who's going to bring salvation to us. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And that's pretty much all I want to say today. But you'll be pleased to know I have got a few further thoughts to add to that. When I was at Bible College, we had a lecturer called Conrad Genf, and I did think of calling him my old lecturer, but I'm pretty sure he was younger than me when I was at Bible College. But he was a lecturer, and he's written a very interesting book about the kinds of questions that Jesus asked. And I thought, yeah, well, what kind of questions do you ask normally in your day-to-day life? Well, I've asked you a question. Would you like any of you to answer it?
When's dinner?
And what kind of question is that then? You wanted to get some information. The information that's very, very important to you. When's dinner? Well, a lot of the questions are about that. I mean, I expect James asks a lot of questions.
Yeah. Why are we doing this, Mummy? And I have something to eat.
But young children ask lots of questions, and you can never stop them asking questions.
Why?
Indeed. Why? And one of the things Conrad points out about those questions is, well, some of them are about eliciting knowledge, they want to know something. But actually, young children just keep on asking questions to keep the conversation going. They've got you, and they're going to ask questions so they can build that relationship. And so many of Jesus' questions are also about not just the actual answer that people give, but where is that taking my relationship with you? What is your relationship with me becoming like? Sometimes, the other question I did have down was school teacher questions. What kind of questions do school teachers ask?
What's X over Y divided by C?
Yeah. No, do you know the answer to that?
No.
No, but do you know what...
Well,
okay, Maureen, do you know what X is?
X is the line going from there to there,
yeah.
And Y is the line...
And what you find with teachers is they'll ask a question about a little part of it, and you think, oh, you know that. And then another question, and you know that. And then finally, they've helped you to understand that you actually know most of the answer to their first question. It's a didactic process of helping you to grow in understanding. And Jesus did that quite a lot as well when he was working with people. But what really did Jesus want to know when he asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? I said I'd come on to Jonathan's wedding. I was really blessed 2 weeks ago to see my son get married. About a year before that, he went up to a mountain in Snowdon and he said to this young lady, well, he asked her a question. What do you think that question was? Will you marry me? What kind of question was that? Yeah. Yeah, it was about relationships. Was he asking for information? Is that what he really wanted to know? Yes. And when Louise answered that question, what was in her mind, do you think? Had she got a competency classification that she had for Jonathan? And was scoring him out of 3 and 6 and 9 on, you know, smiling, probably on helping with the dishes, all that kind of stuff. Did she do a competency review on that? Why did she answer the question at all?
She loved him.
because she loved him. And what's that? She wanted to have a relationship with him. So me, I was just thinking about that, the emotion that, it's a simple question, will you do this, will you do that? But underlying was that deepest possible desire to find out, Jonathan wanted to find out, would she want to spend time with him for the rest of his life, the rest of her life? Would she want to be together with him? Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? The surface question is, well, what's the title? But underneath, Peter did get to some of the heart of it. You're the Messiah. You're the one I need to follow. You're the one I want to follow. I don't know about you, but I heard some groans when I mentioned Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Are there people here who... everyone, put your hand up, guys. Both hands up. Do you know what Pokemon Go is? Hallelujah. Lots of hands up in the air. I love to see that. But not everyone knows what Pokemon Go is. Pokemon Go is a game that you get on your phone. And actually, any experts can correct me because I don't really know very much about this. But apparently, there are some... there's some way that Pokemon have placed these fictitious fantasy things in places, and with your phone you can go to those places and capture these Pokemon. And isn't it lovely, you see children in the street and they're talking to each other now, they're all looking at their phone saying, I got him, or whatever it is, and where have you seen them?
Yes, they're outside my work
because
I can't eat my lunch anymore.
I see them, it's just amazing. You used to see children, young people just walking down the street like this. Now they're in threes, all looking around saying, where shall we go? But they're looking for Pokemon, and there's a complete classification of Pokemon, and they've categorised them. Sorry about this beeping noise. And they've categorised them, and they're going to try and find them in shops, and it's a big craze, and it's very, very popular with young people of all ages, I should say, because maybe there are children of more than 15 who play this game. So, is my phone's at home? Who else is guilty? And I just thought about, in Jesus' time, all those people, they were looking for someone. They were perhaps looking for a prophet, for a Messiah, for one of the... Who do they say that we are? They're looking around for Elijah, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And perhaps they thought they could come along and catch one when it came to Jesus. It's so easy for us to want to categorise people and to end up categorising Jesus. I love to do my theology, and as you saw earlier, I've done the research. I've found out what Jesus is, what Jesus could be called, what his role might be, and so on. But ultimately, as we've been singing, Jesus is wanting an answer that says, yes, I know who you are, and I want to follow you. That was his very first question that we looked at the beginning of Mark's Gospel a few weeks ago. Come, follow me. And the implication now is, as they talk about Jesus being the Messiah, he's one who's worthy to be followed. Are the disciples going to follow him? They say, yes, you're the Messiah. Clear implication that because of their Jewish roots, they'd want to follow him because they knew the Messiah was the one promised to transform their lives. That's who Jesus is for us today too, the one we can follow who will change our lives. The other day, Stephen and I were talking about this, and he said that more and more he recognised that just as at work, we often want to evaluate our progress by what we can tick off, what we've achieved, what we've done, and are we good Christians? And yet, more and more, the answer, the real answer is, what's most important to God is not what we've done last week, but do we want to follow Jesus? Do we want to have that relationship with his son? Do we want to carry on with that friendship with the Messiah, the one who gave his life for us? For people like me who love reading books and intellectualising, that is quite a challenge to think about. For some of you will find it more easy to think, yes, I'll respond to Jesus as the person who loves me, who's called me to follow him. I don't need to worry about the outcome. I just need to be sure that I'm following Jesus. So the question Jesus asks today is, who do you say that I am? Am I the person you want to follow? Do you want to know me better? Not how did you get on last week? How did you get on in your appraisal? How do you feel about yourself today? Do you want to know me better? Do you love me and want to follow? In some ways, those are much easier questions to answer. But of course, following has its implications. And we come back to our thought, how are we transformed? First of all, for me, we see Jesus as a person, not as a category, not as an item to be collected, but as the one who loved us and died for us. We repent. We can wrestle with the theology of the Trinity, of resurrection, of substitutionary sacrifice, and so on. We can struggle until we understand all these things fully. Or we can turn to him and say, yes, I don't know all there is to know about you, but I love you and I want to be with you. I will follow you.
I will follow. Is that your response? Is that my response? I will follow.